This is our annual financial report Sunday, and election of our deacons today. And I want to just very briefly speak to you today about what does the Bible say about our finances. The Bible has a lot to say about the finances of us as His people. There's so much there. We'll touch on those principles, including the principle of tithing. And I can remember back is when Sherry and I were a young married couple, and we, you know, like a lot of young married couples, you know, you're struggling with some bills and making ends meet and don't have a whole lot. And I'm, you know, working my way, finishing up my final year at SMU, and she's got a good job at a bank, and we're doing okay, but it's a struggle. And we just remember, I remember us both understanding that we must be people that follow the guidelines in the Bible regarding tithing. And that we together made that commitment. We together as a couple made that commitment to begin tithing. I'm going to tell you, when you follow the Lord's guidelines, when you are obedient to the things that God gives us, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in how you feel. It changes your perspective. It changes your spiritual outlook. And in some cases, it'll even change your physical appearance and outlook. And I'm telling you, that's true. But let me show you what Sherry and I looked at before we started tithing. I'm telling you, it made such a change in both of us. And I'm so glad it did. Well, I just want to say that we're going to celebrate today. This is a celebration of the great financial blessings of God in our church and the financial blessings of God on those who have been faithful in giving of their tithes and their offerings. I've been in churches, I bet some of you have, where it just seems like the pastor was constantly begging the church to give or a special project or a ministry or a missionary, and it's like they had no money at all. But in this church, I want you to tell you, by God's grace and by His favor, we have continually been the recipients of God's abundant blessings. As the financial report we'll look at, that Steve Hips will go over with you a bit later, it'll give great evidence to that. And so today I want to just take a few minutes to very briefly speak about eternal truths regarding the finances and the principles and the guidance that God has for us. And that first point is, God is the owner of everything. He's the owner of all wealth. Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Are you hearing what the Word of God is saying? It's saying not only is He the originator of all wealth, He also is the owner of all wealth. Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Everything belongs to God. Let me just make that real clear. Everything belongs to God. The house that I live in, the car that I drive, the accounts I may have in terms of savings or investments, they all belong to God, every one of them. He allows me to be a steward over those assets, over my home and car. We're just stewards over those things. We don't own them. God owns all of them. Years ago, you may remember, I did a form where I created a quick claim deed, and I made sure everybody had a copy of it. And in that quick claim deed, it was like we're saying, but what we do, that I own nothing and everything is quick claimed over to you, God, because you already own it anyway. But it's my way of just acknowledging that you've allowed me only to be stewards of these items because you own it all. And He blesses us as stewards of the items that we have. There are many people that are looking for favor from God. And they're looking for financial freedom from money worries and financial worries. And for many, this is never going to be possible until they learn the joy of obedience. That's a word we're going to talk a lot about for just a few minutes. The obedience of giving to God the tithe and the offering that belongs to Him. And when we give that tithe and that offering to God, it's our way of acknowledging, God, everything I got comes from You. Every blessing in my home comes from you. Every penny I have comes from you by your hand and your favor. And I'm giving back. I'm acknowledging that by being obedient to you and giving back this tithe as I worship you. God has promised a favor. He's promised us blessings. He's promised His abundance when we give that first tenth of our increase to the Lord. God also has promised us liberty from the devourer, the devil who has an agenda to kill, steal, and to destroy, including our financial blessings that God wants to give us. You're familiar with this scripture in Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food found in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. It says, and try me now. God is saying that to all of us. Try me now. Try following my example. Try following my guidance. Try following the direction I'm giving you. I can remember counseling with a fellow, this was many years ago, and he was in a financial mess, and the first thing I began to ask him was about how he gave to God, and he confessed he did not tithe at all, and he occasionally gave offerings, but he hadn't tithe, and he said, I can't tithe. I'd go broke if I tithe. I couldn't pay my bills if I tithe. And I explained to him, I said, you're never going to get out of the mess you're in until you learn obedience to what God has given you. And obedience is that we give that tithe to the Lord. We give that 10%. I says, the Bible says, try me now, test me. Another example says, test me or try me. I said, if you have faith in God, that He's your source, He's going to meet your need, show that faith, begin to tithe to Him. He said, I just can't do it. I can't afford it. And I said, it'll be the best decision you'll ever make if you'll, by faith, begin to tithe. Well, he left my office, and I kind of had doubts that he was going to follow through. Within a month or so, he was gainfully reemployed. He'd lost his job. He was reemployed. And he said, oh, things are great now, Pastor. And I said, do you remember what we talked about, of giving God your tithe? Well, I've got to catch up. I've got so many bills I got behind. But if I could just get caught up, I'm going to start tithing. I said, no, you're missing the point. You put God first. He's not the backside. He's the front side of it. He's the first fruits. You put God, you give God that tithe first. He'll help you. He'll bless you. All these things will be working out if you trust God. 6 months later, he called me. He said, can I come talk to you, Pastor? I said, sure. He'd lost that job. They'd have a downsizing. And now he's unemployed again. And it's like, I said, are you ever going to understand this principle? Because until you do, it's not going to be right for you financially. And that's still true today, isn't it? We must be obedient to what God is saying. We do it out of obedience. And by the way, that scripture that says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord God of hosts. That's a great promise to have. Not only that are we being obedient, but then there's a promise that God is giving us. He's going to help protect what we have, and that he's going to be on our side when there's trouble coming. By the way, the word tithe and the ideal of tithing is all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. In fact, in Deuteronomy it says, you shall truly tithe all the increase. All the increase. Whatever I got that's coming in, I'm giving God tithe on that. That's all the increase. We praise God for that. In that scripture in Malachi, in Malachi 3 and 10, right before that, it asks this question, will a man rob God? And he goes on to say that men are robbing God by not giving God their tithes and offerings. I don't want to be in that category. Folks will say, well, you know, that tithing thing, that's just an Old Testament thing. That's an Old Testament concept. It's not for us today. Is that true? Is it just an Old Testament item? I want to tell you, tithing is for today. In fact, Jesus taught tithing while he was here on this earth. Look at this scripture. I've used the New Living Bible is the source on the scripture, Matthew 23, 23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. You're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe. Do y'all see that part? You should tithe, Jesus says. Yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So tithing is both an Old Testament and a New Testament principle. And in fact, in the Old Testament, it uses the word tithe, and in the New Testament, it uses the word tenth. And in Genesis 14 and 20, the Bible tells us, and he, Abraham, gave Melchizedek, who was the high priest, a tithe of all. Then in the New Testament, in Hebrews 7 and 4, it says, now consider how great this man Melchizedek was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. It's a beautiful story. Go back and read that story of what those spoils represented and why they were in Abraham's hand. But the point this morning is that tithe simply means a tenth of your increase. Where should the tithe be given? You say, Pastor, that is that really a necessary question to ask? Where should the tithe be given? The scripture we read in Malachi 3:10 declares it should be brought to the storehouse. The storehouse is the place of the meat and the bread and the milk. That's called the Word of God. There's another way of looking at that. That's the storehouse. That's where it's kept and supplied to the people. So this idea of the storehouse in the Old Testament, it was literally the place where they gathered the items to take care of the priest and to be there to help people in need. And in the New Testament times, the storehouse is the local church. You bring the tithe to the storehouse. And sadly, some folks mistakenly think that they're giving their tithe to the Lord as they contribute to what we would refer to as parachurch ministries, sending their tithe, for example, to TV or radio evangelists. I just want to emphasize this in love, okay? Please receive this in love. The tithe does not belong to the 700 Club or the Daystar Network or Lemon Line Ministries or the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. The tithe doesn't belong to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Teen Life Challenge or Pleasant Hills Children's Home. The Bible tells us that the entire tithe belongs in the storehouse. It doesn't tell us to divide the tithe up and just spread it out a little bit to this church and then a little bit to this ministry and maybe a little bit to this charity, or maybe I'm giving my tithe this month because I'm buying groceries for somebody that needs some help. Giving for all those wonderful causes, and they're great causes, by the way, giving for all those wonderful causes should be our offerings after we give our tithe to the local church. If I eat in a local cafe, I don't pay the bill for what I ate at the local cafe somewhere else. They wouldn't allow me to do that anyway. I've got to pay for the food right there where I get it. If you understand where I'm going with this, God requires that our tithe is in the place we receive our spiritual food, the local storehouse, the local church. It takes us to the next point. Tithing opens heaven's windows of blessing. We read that earlier in Malachi 3:10. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. By the windows of heaven, by the way, God is actually describing the floodgates. I like that thought. It's the floodgates, because that same word is used in Genesis 7:1 when we find the exact word where God opened the windows of heaven, it says, and flooded the earth with water. So in God's promise to us, as a result of our obedience to Him, there's a great promise that He's going to bless us. It's not just financial blessing. You know, I get so tired of these guys that get up here and say, well, now, you know, there's this promise of financial blessing. When you send that $10, you'll get $100 back. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're giving for that reason, you're giving for the completely wrong reason. That's the wrong reason to give. By the way, the blessings that God is promising isn't just financial. It's spiritual. It's so many other ways. That once there was a farmer, this farmer became real convicted about his lack of giving to his church. And he knew he should be giving, but he hadn't been given. So he finally decided that he was going to sell a calf. And when he got that calf sold, that he's going to give that money to the church. He said, I'll be able to catch up on all the back giving that I haven't been giving to the Lord. And so he planned to do that, but he was like a lot of folks. He procrastinated, and he just kind of kept putting it off and putting it off. You know, God has a strange way of dealing with us when He's trying to get our attention and get us to do what He wants us to do according to His will for us. Well, the man came into church late one Sunday, and church had already started. And he's walking down the sidewalk toward the church, And the church is singing this great old song, "The Half Has Not Been Told." The half has not been told. They're singing that song. And as he steps up on the porch, he hears them singing, and he can't quite get it right because he's still outside, and he thinks they're saying, "The calf has not been sold." And he stood there for a minute listening to it, thinking, oh, they're singing, "The calf has not been sold." He immediately turned around and ran home and curried and groomed that calf, and the next day took him to the market and sold that calf and gave the money to the church. Yes, and indeed, God often has ways of dealing with us to show us the real principles of Christian giving. So for me, the decision to tithe wasn't based on the promises of blessings. The decision to tithe wasn't based upon, well, I won't be robbing God, or I have to avoid God's wrath or judgment. That's not the decision that gave me the peace of mind to know that I was doing the right thing. The decision was based upon obedience. Not what I'm going to get, not what I'm going to avoid, but simply obedience. Are you hearing me today? It's about obedience. God's blessing and His promises are ours if we choose to obey His direction, His commandments. Tithing's about obedience. Tithing's about trusting God, isn't it? It's completely trusting God. In obedience, look at this, Job 36, 7, "If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure." If what? They obey. 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." You've seen that word before. On the subject of giving, God is looking for a willing heart. A willing heart. It makes such a big difference. Exodus 35:5. "Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a," what does it say? "Willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze." In verse 21, "Then everyone who came, whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing." And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle, the meeting for all its service, and the holy garments. Two brothers farmed together. They farmed the same farm together. They both had separate houses at each end of the farm. Each day they would meet in the fields and they would work together. One of the brothers was married and had a family, a large family. The other brother lived all alone. But they divided the harvest and the income from all their work right down the middle, evenly, every year. Well, one night the single brother is laying in bed. He got to thinking about his other brother. He says, "You know, my brother is struggling to support a large family, and yet I still get half of all the harvest." And with great love in his heart, he gathered a box of things he'd purchased from his earnings that he knew that would bless those children in that family. And he included even some of his own savings, items he knew that they needed that would bless them. And he planned to slip over in the middle of the night to his brother's shed. And there he would unload the basket and never say a word about it. Well, that same night, the married brother that had the large family, he's thinking about his other brother that's all by himself. And he says, "You know, my brother's alone. He doesn't know the joys of having the love and friendship of a family." And out of love, he decided to take over to that single brother a basket with a quilt and some homemade bread and some preserves to warm his brother's home. Well, he planned to leave those items on the porch and never say a word. Well, that night, as both of the brothers stealthily made their way through the darkness toward each other's house, they bumped into one another. And they were forced to admit to each other what they were doing. And there in the darkness, they cried and they embraced each other, each man recognizing that the greatest wealth is the treasure in the heart of love. Well, isn't that true? The greatest wealth is the treasure in the heart of love that is willing to give. Oh, what a treasure that is. One of the greatest joys and treasures in this life comes from giving in love to the Lord. Obedience, we talked about it. Trust and a willing heart. May the Holy Spirit lead all of us in obedience, trusting Him, and giving with a willing heart. I've asked Anthony to have some folks pass out our financial report. Anthony, if you would gather up those folks that are going to help you. We're going to pass out our year-end financial